ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 112 of the report. Yeah, man. 112. Shout out to everybody that remembers like 112's like very first album, the very best album, as a matter of fact. You could just let that bitch go and listen to it, didn't have to skip through it or nothing, and it completely fell off. Yeah, man, it's been a week. It's been a week since the last time I talked to y'all, man. And shout out to, I believe that was Angela, man, who hit me up last week to say, hey, man, you got to let us know when you're not putting out a show. And yeah, 2 weeks in a row there, Angela. 2 weeks in a row. But yeah, man, got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to get into. And before I do that, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages for me and I'll play those on the show, and of course I'll respond to you here on the show as well. You can also email the show. The email to the Span Report is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course I will read those emails and respond to you here as well. You can also chop it up with me throughout the week on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So follow me on Twitter mainly. Instagram sometimes, not as much on there as I used to be. But like, yeah, follow me on Twitter, Mr_Span. And on Instagram is Mr_Span as well. You can also chop it up with your man on Facebook, Mr. Span fan page. I announce when I'm bringing out the new shows on Facebook as well as on the website, www.thespanreport.com. But you can follow me, or you can like my fan page on Facebook. You can also go to thespanreport.com for all of your Span Report needs, man. Go there to watch old episodes of the podcast. Go there to listen to old episodes of the podcast. Go there to check out some of the articles and some of the news clips that I use for the show. You can go there and check those out as well. And you can also vote in the polls at thespanreport.com, and you can donate to the show. You can give some money to the show. Shout out. I have to do this. Shout out to the person, and they don't want me to give out their name, but shout out to the person who dropped that $100 donation on the Span Report podcast. Man, I really do appreciate it. I'm going to respect their wishes by not putting their name out there like that. But shout out to you for looking out for the show, man. Real talk, man. Very much appreciate it. Came right on time, let me tell you. Came right on time. So, yeah, man, I very much appreciate anything that you guys can and will give to the Span Report, man. And it's always very much appreciated, man. Real talk. So, yeah, again, shout out to Donator Anonymous, right? Shout out to Donator Anonymous for helping keep the Span Report rolling. Yeah, man, and there's a lot of stuff, man. And I'm going to just go ahead and get right into this, man. I got some news about, some Detroit Civic news. I got some Beyonce news. I got some streaming music news. I got some abusive parenting news. I mean, I got a lot of shit to talk about. So I'm going to just go ahead and just stop bullshitting around, right? Get to it, man. No. yeah, man. So, I don't know if you guys, how well you guys follow, Detroit news, or if you're really into hockey like that, right? But the Detroit Red Wings here are going to be playing in a new stadium, in a new arena in Detroit, the beginning of the 2017 season, I believe it is. I believe they're going to start that new season in that new arena. And it's one of those things where, it's not just the arena. They're building up, retail, a lot of retail space around this arena. They're building up residential space around this arena, and it's one big complex. It's not just the arena alone. They're building up so much stuff around it, and they're calling the place around it District Detroit, right? This whole thing is called District Detroit. But the Illich family, who owns the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers, have announced the name for the new stadium. And the name for the new stadium is, excuse me, Little Caesars Arena, right? And, yeah, it's a lot of folks. A lot of folks weren't necessarily happy about it. And, yeah, they signed some petitions to get the Illich family to change the name of the stadium. Now, here's the thing, man. Like, of course, when I think about, like, any, like, arena, like, most of these arenas now, they're coming out with, you know, they have corporate sponsorships for the names. And, you know, it's just like the nature of the beast when it comes to these new stadiums or whatever. These owners, they're figuring out ways to generate revenue. And if they can get some revenue from an entity that wants to pay money to put their name on a building, then they'll do so. And so, like, with the Illich family, I understand they own Little Caesars, and Little Caesars is kind of what helped them build their empire to where they could buy the Detroit Tigers and where they could buy the Detroit Red Wings and where they could build the new stadium with the help of some taxpayer dollars, and where they can, like, you know, they built all this thing up on the back of the Little Caesars name, right? And so I understand that aspect of it, of having a little bit of familial pride in the fact that your empire built all of this for you, or helped to build all of this for you, right? But it was just amazing to see, like, so many people so worked up about this name, man. Like, like, there's a petition to get them to change the name from Little Caesars Arena to the Coliseum, the Illich Coliseum. They want to maybe name the stadium after Gordie Howe, who is an old Red Wings great. I personally believe that, like, if they're going to do it, like, just if they change the name, just change the name to Hockey Town, right? Because, you know, Detroit, for a good long while, especially when it comes to hockey, is a pretty big, you know, like, hotbed as far as hockey is concerned. And they even have Hockey Town on the center ice when the Red Wings play. And so I'm thinking, well, if you're building up this entire complex where it's residential and commercial, you know, entities being in great or being engulfed into this whole thing, then why not just name the entire complex Hockey Town and name the arena the Hockey Town Arena? Whereas, like, say we in here in Detroit, man, we got Greek Town, where there's a casino in Greek Town. They're going to change the name of that too, but you have the Greek Town casino, you got Greek Town, and like, that's right near downtown Detroit. You also have Mexican Town here in Detroit, where there's a lot of Mexican immigrants, a lot of Mexican people of this people of Mexican descent who live in that area. A lot of great Mexican restaurants there. So it just kind of fits into that whole theme of naming different sections of the city, of the town in which they're most known by. So if you can build this part of the town up by calling it Hockey Town, and that seems to me like that would be the most palatable for a lot of these folks, man. I'm just surprised that so many people are so upset about it, considering the fact that, like, yo, man, who didn't see this coming? You know, the Illiches are, they own Little Caesars. Like, who didn't see this coming, right? So yeah, but you know what, it is not as bad as Smoothie King Arena down in New Orleans. And I love New Orleans, man. I can't wait to get back down there later this year. But yeah, man, when I seen Smoothie King Arena, I'm like, oh my god, this is corporate naming run amok. Like, they don't care so long as them dollars is coming through, man. So shout out to everybody that's mad. Shout out to everybody that's mad at the fact that the Detroit Red Wings will be playing in an arena called Little Caesars Arena, right? Yeah, man. Now, another thing happened over the course of the week, man. Of course, last time I talked to you guys, I believe it was right after Beyonce dropped Lemonade, right? She dropped her visual album, and right after that, she dropped the album on Tidal. And later on, she let the album be available. I believe it's on Apple Music or something like that, right? But one of the things that kind of happened with the release of, not only just the release of Lemonade, but there was the death of Prince, right? Which kind of, it put people in a position to where they had to choose how bad they wanted to listen to this music. And the only place that they can listen to this music was to go on Tidal, right? Now, personally, I've been a user of a service called Google Play Music, right? And I talked to you guys about Google Play Music a little bit last week when I talked about how they fumbled the whole podcast thing. And I actually canceled my subscription with Google Play Music. And I can always get it back because it's relatively cheap, because I got in at the beginning and I can still get it for like $8 a month, right? But with Google Play Music, you know, fumbling the whole podcast app thing with them, you know, it was a whole lot of different things that kind of made me switch up. Okay, here's the thing. Prince died and his entire catalog was available for streaming on Tidal. Google Play Music fucked up with the podcast launch, so I was a little irritated with them and I canceled my subscription with them. And my wife wanted to listen to the Lemonade album, and for a time it was only available on Tidal as well. So I said, fuck it, I'm gonna just go ahead, cancel this Google Play Music subscription, and I can, you know, subscribe to Tidal, right? Now, I've been subscribed to Tidal before. I had subscribed to them before, and I had the Hi-Fi subscription, so I was paying $20 a month for the subscription. And the only beef that I really had with Tidal was the fact that, like, yo, it just didn't have as many songs available as opposed to what Google Play Music had, or even in Apple Music, they had more music available. So, like, I would be listening to an album and there would be songs missing from the album on Tidal. They just didn't have the streaming rights for certain songs and stuff like that. Or they just didn't have albums, period. Like, it was certain albums that were just missing from the that was just missing, period, from Tidal. And so I knew that if I went back to Google Play Music, yeah, some of those albums were available. And if they weren't, I can download them, upload them right back into Google Play Music, and I'd still have access to them right on all of my devices, right? But you know what, with the when Prince died, and I stream all of my music. Like, I don't buy music much anymore. Very seldom will I buy music. I stream everything. Like, and part of it is because of the ease of use, right? Like, I know that if I stream, if I subscribe to this service, that if someone comes out with a new album, that album is available to me and I could just hit play on that app and I can listen to this album and I don't have to go to a store to buy it. I don't have to go to a store and download it. I don't have to connect my device to, you know, any computer or anything like that. I don't have to upload anything. Like, I could just push play and go. And I pay $8 to maybe $20 a month in order for this convenience, right? And so, you know, when the whole thing with Google kind of, you know, went to shit, and I said, you know what, with the Prince thing and with the Beyonce thing, I'm gonna just go ahead and I'm gonna switch back to Tidal and see what's to it. And so, I started to notice, like, folks have these allegiances to these services, right? Like, they just it's one of those things where you have to justify where you're spending your money to other people, which I think is a little bit odd, but, you know, folks do it, right? So I was talking about the fact that I made mention of this on Facebook, that I was switching back to Tidal because of, you know, not only Prince dying, but Beyonce releasing Lemonade, and my wife wanted to be able to hear it. And so I switched back to Tidal, and there was this lady who was commenting on my thread, and she was talking about how it cost $120 a year to subscribe to these services when you can just go out and just buy these artists' music at the store or whatever. And I'm like, well, yeah, but, you know, if you really think about it, like, say for instance, just on the strength of Prince alone, Prince had 39 albums. Do you know how much money it's going to cost me to go buy 39 of Prince's albums if I wanted to hear all of his shit, as opposed to just saying, hey, I can pay this $120 a year and not only listen to all of Prince's shit, but then there's a whole lot of other artists whom I can listen to as well, right? And so the way in which we listen to the music, the way in which we consume it it's just changed. Folks don't want to go, like, we just simply have become spoiled to how available this music is to us to a large degree. And they made it so easy for us with these streaming services that I no longer have the inclination to decide that I'm going to install LimeWire or FrostWire or Napster and whatever service that we used to use to burn music and use those, right? I can just go on Tidal or Google Play Music or wherever, hit play, and the music is there for me. And that's good. Now, when it came to the whole Prince thing, again, Prince has 39 albums. 39. Do you know anybody who's going to search the interwebs and go to the store, go buy a CD or whatever, when they can go on to an app and just hit play because his music is available on Tidal? And not only that, a whole lot of other people's music is available on Tidal or Google Play Music or Apple Music as well. Right. And so it's just interesting to me, like, there's a bit of a there's a bit of a backlash when it comes to Tidal, right? And we saw Spotify come out earlier in the week, and they were talking about how the Tidal exclusives are kind of hurting the, you know, it's not good for anybody. Like, yeah, it's good for Tidal. It's not necessarily good for Spotify. And Spotify is a service that I used briefly. I never really got into it because I had that Google Play Music service that was available to me. I mean, I was really in constant the whole Google ecosystem, right? So it's just odd. It's odd to see, like, you know, people picking and choosing and almost mocking you for choosing something different, right? So when I decided that I was going to, for me, I decided for me that I'm going to use Tidal because of these reasons, and somebody came up and felt the need to tell me why I may be wasting my money, spending money with Tidal to have these, to have access to this music. It was a bit odd, right? It was a bit odd. And it's funny how, like, folks pledge their allegiance to these music streaming services as if they're pledging a frat. Like, people really are about that platform thing. And I'm sort of that way too, like, when it comes to, like, cell phones and shit. Like, when I go with, when I'm like an Apple evangelist, not an Apple evangelist, an Android evangelist, as opposed to an Apple evangelist, right? Like, if it was up to me, everybody would be using Android devices, right? But it ain't up to me, right? So, yeah, man, with Kanye coming out with The Life of Pablo on Tidal, Beyonce releasing Lemonade on Tidal, Prince's Death, where his entire catalog is available for streaming on Tidal. Yeah, man, it was kind of weird to see folks, like, shitting so hard on Tidal. I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to give it a shot because there are some things about Tidal that I liked, although there are some drawbacks, like I said, when it comes to the availability of the music. You know, it doesn't have as complete a catalog as some of the other services, but I pay that $20 a month for that sound quality, and goddamn, that shit sound good. Like, real talk. Like, I don't have to turn my radio up in my car as high anymore because the bass drops just that well with my shit on 13 as opposed to 18. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could put my headphones on and the shit just bangs in my headphones just as well as if I had, like, a CD player. Remember when people used to walk around with CD Walkmans? This shit sounds just as good. So, I will pay the $20 a month alone just to have that sound quality. Now, I really hope that they're able to kind of bridge the gap when it comes to the availability of some of the music. Like, I've had a few Roots albums on my service in the My Music portion of Tidal, and there was some songs on Roots albums that was just, like, not there. And I was kind of disappointed about that. But I still have access to my Google Play Music if I need it, right? I still got access to it if I need it. So, yeah, man, check that out. I'm a Tidal subscriber. Hopefully that doesn't piss anybody off right now, because it seems to piss a lot of folks off. I don't know why, but, yeah, that's the thing. All right. Now, we were talking about Beyonce, right? And Beyonce came out with the Lemonade album last week. And it was an event. It was an event, man. I'm telling you, I was on Twitter that night. I was watching it on HBO when it came out, and I was watching it, and for a good long while, I didn't necessarily know what the hell I was seeing. I didn't know what the hell I was watching. I'm like, what is this, right? What is she talking about? Is she really talking about what I think she's talking about? And, you know, it was an event for a lot of people. It was Black Girl Party Time, right? Now, here's one thing that I will let my brothers know. Let these ladies have their Black Girl Party Time. It's not a big thing, like, for you to feel as if you have to insert yourself and be the pissant to shit on the party. Like, you don't have to be that dude. You don't have to be that dick to piss on the party while these women are having a good time. I don't understand it. I really don't. I even got into it with what's that dude's name? Eric Williams. I don't know if you guys remember Eric Williams. He was on the Basketball Wives. His wife was Jennifer Williams or whatever. The dude with the knot on his head. Like, I got into it with him on Twitter because he was talking shit. You know, and me and him was going back and forth on Twitter. Like, he was taking the time to, like, talk about how he missed Cater to You, Beyonce. And, like, this is, you know, this is like, you know, all this is doing is promoting leaving your husband and all this other shit. I'm like, dude, for one, that's not what a lot of people got from Lemonade, although some people who weren't really in it for everything that that lemonade was offering. That wasn't all that was there. But at the same time, like, dude, here it is, like, niggas trying to make it about them. And this shit ain't about you. There's a whole lot of stuff that happens in the world, man, that ain't surrounding you. So, like, when black women have a party and they have something that's aimed at them, it's like, it's always a contingent of ashy niggas who just feel like they got to come in and rain on the parade. And it's like, dog, later for that shit, dog. Later for that shit. And, you know, it's funny, man. Like, I don't understand why dudes feel so threatened by it right now. I get it. There's some ain't shit niggas, right? That's what it is. Most of your ain't shit niggas are the ones that's pissed off about the fact that Beyonce had an album where she talked a good portion about whether or not she could have any fucking man she wanted, right? If Beyonce is doing this to Jay-Z, then goddamn, where do I stand with my woman? Right now, if you doing your woman right, you ain't necessarily got those kind of concerns, man. I sat there on that couch, and my wife wasn't even at home, but I sat there on that couch with all the confidence in the world, like, whoo, good thing they ain't talking about me. Right, good thing they ain't talking about me, because I didn't have any qualms about what Beyonce was saying. I'm not doing my lady like that. Some of you niggas is, though. Some of y'all is, and that's why y'all so upset. Here it is, a woman talking about her own empowerment and her ability to take care of herself, her ability to not need your ashy ass. And niggas was upset. So, I mean, there was that was going on with it. But not only that, man, like, when Beyonce comes out with some shit, man, everybody got something to say about it. And she talked about that in Formation when she said, you know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Man, here it is a week later. Niggas are still coming out with think pieces. White folks are still giving their unsolicited opinions about the black experience, especially like a black woman's experience. They're mad about the fact that they're not being represented in the music in the ways in which they thought Beyonce should represent them, man. It's so many different ways in which people are being supportive and being and rejecting the message at the same time, man. And you can always tell where the lines are drawn, so to speak. And some of it is due to racial lines, man. Like, you've seen a lot of white women who are confused that, like, you know, this isn't something that is about them. Pierce Morgan gave his unsolicited opinion about what Beyonce should be talking about. It's like, dude, who the fuck asked you? Like, real talk, who's asking Pierce Morgan what we believe Pierce Morgan believes Beyonce should be talking about? Who gives a fuck? Like, Pierce Morgan should just, like, stay his ass back over there in England, man. Like, he pissed a lot of, like, right-wing white folks off when he came over here talking about how disgusting our gun laws is, and now he pissing off a contingent of black people for talking shit about Beyonce. It's like, dog, you are not gonna win this shit at all. You are not gonna win this fight. Leave it alone, bruh. Just stay out of it, man. Real talk. And you know what? It was another thing, too, man. Like, I started noticing, like, with Beyonce's work, that a lot of people look for themselves to be represented in Beyonce's work, right? I saw an article over the course of the week where there was a woman who was talking about that there weren't any fat black women well represented in the Beyonce Lemonade visual album. And, you know, again, this music, like Beyonce's thing, like I recognize that it isn't aimed at me. Right. Like, so I'm not the target audience, even though some of this stuff like that Beyonce was talking about, I can't relate to any of the shit that she was talking about in Lemonade. But I also recognize there's a lot of women who can relate to what it was that Beyonce was talking about. So, you know, to some degree, I'm like, OK. And then there's another part of me where I'm just like, maybe we're asking too much, you know, and I don't want to, you know, be insensitive or anything like that, but it's like so many people are looking for themselves to be represented in these spaces. And it was something that was completely out of my purview. This is something that I wasn't even thinking about. Like, yo, there was a non-existent fat black women representation in this visual album that Beyonce had brought up. I didn't realize that that was a thing. I didn't realize that that was something that people worried about, but far be it from me to tell that woman that she's wrong to feel the way that she feels about the fact that there weren't any bigger black women promoted in this visual album, right? Who am I? Who am I to say that she's wrong to feel about that the way that she feels? Like, I would be like one of them other ashy niggas. Like, see, here you go. Here you go. Worrying about some shit that ain't got nothing to do with you. Here you go. That's not me. That's not me. So, man, yeah. And another thing, man. Another thing about the Lemonade album, man. Like, a lot of folks have talked about the Lemonade album being a cheap marketing ploy, right? Like, the Jay-Z and Beyonce weren't really going through anything, man. You know, Beyonce and Jay-Z are very private people. They never talk about their personal life. Why would Beyonce put her personal business out for the world in an album like this? And it's all about perception. It's all about perception. Like, a lot of you niggas think y'all know them, right? A lot of y'all think y'all know who Beyonce is, right? Now, I don't know, like, I don't know anything really about Beyonce and Jay-Z other than what Beyonce and Jay-Z want us to know. But at the same time, we don't know that what Beyonce is talking about in that video or in this album or in these songs are true to her experience or just things that they came up with. We don't know. We simply don't. There very well could have been some marital strife when it came to Jay-Z and Beyonce. You know why? Because Jay-Z and Beyonce are fucking human beings and they're married and they have been for a while. People go through shit. People go through shit, whether they let you know about it or not. People go through things. And sometimes when you're an artist, your work kind of reflects your life. Now, they may or may not have been going through some things, right? We, you know, people connect dots from some of the cracks that you do see in the blogs and in social media and in the tabloids and whatever else. But at the end of the day, man, you don't know these people in the ways that you think you know them. So when Beyonce comes out with an album and she's possibly talking about there being some infidelities in her marriage, yeah, there could very well be some truth to that. You don't know that. But because we have this cynical way of looking at everything, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. I look at things with a very cynical eye, depending on what it is, right? I look at a lot of things through a very cynical purview, but we don't know what was going on with Beyonce and Jay-Z. And they may have very well been going through some things, and they may have very well worked through them to the point where Jay-Z is now comfortable showing himself as a vulnerable man trying not to lose his woman on national television on HBO. Right? Jay-Z is going from, you know, not for nothing, never happened, I'll be forever macking, to trying not to lose his wife. Some real shit. Some very real shit. It's a whole lot of cats that have went from that dude that you thought had all the hoes, right? And now that dude's got that one that he ain't trying to let go. And he gonna do whatever he needs to make shit right for whatever it was that he did with her, or for her, or to her. Right. So, yeah, man, I don't necessarily know if it's a marketing ploy or not. If it and even if it is, it's working. You niggas are still talking about it. Y'all still buying the albums. You got Kaya still talking shit. You got what's the old girl name? Corinne Stephens out here talking shit. You got all these people out here talking shit, trying to piggyback off of the fact that there's publicity surrounding this Lemonade album. Like, yo, if it was a marketing ploy, goddamn, it was genius. Because we still talking about it. And they're making their problems profitable, so to speak. Right? We don't know these people in the ways in which we think we do. And I think sometimes, man, we get caught up in what we see on social media. We get caught up in what we see in the news. We get caught up in what we see on the tabloids and whatnot. And we think we know. A lot of times we don't, man. So, yeah, that happened, right? And while we're speaking about perceptions, man, I want to talk a little bit about Prince. Because, you know, like, there have been some, you know, some other developments to kind of come out about Prince over the last week since we got word that Prince had passed away. And one of the things was the fact that, like, you know, people are having a hard time accepting that maybe Prince did die of a drug overdose, right? People are having a hard time accepting that. People are having a hard time believing that, you know, an artist of Prince's stature died without a will. People have gone to, you know, the lengths of conspiracy theory to explain why Prince is dead, you know, when it comes to his masters and his catalog and having control over that and whatever. And one of the things about, and I said this on Facebook earlier in the week, man, especially when it comes to Prince and when it comes to Beyonce and Jay-Z, man, like, perception is everything, man. We don't know these people in the ways in which we think we do. And yeah, we had this idea that Prince is a Jehovah's Witness who is very conscious of what he put in his body, who is very health conscious, who wouldn't be strung out on opiate drugs, right? Whether they were prescribed or not for whatever ailment that he may have been suffering from, if he was suffering from any ailments at all, right? We don't know. But we have this perception of him that he wouldn't be involved in any of this, right? And this perception was created by Prince himself because of how he presented himself. But we also know that Prince was fiercely private. Prince didn't want a whole lot of people around him like that. Prince didn't really... He was as flamboyant as Prince was in his presentation, man. Prince was very private with his friends, with some of the philanthropic work that he was out here doing. Like, a lot of the stuff that Prince was doing, we didn't know about until he died. Like, I played that video of Van Jones last week where he talked about the concerts that Prince was doing. And there was a whole lot of spontaneous concerts. And nobody knew that those concerts were actually being used to fund efforts to help Black Lives Matter and a lot of other social justice programs, right? None of us knew that. We just knew Prince was out here doing concerts, spontaneous concerts, right? So Prince was a very private person. And it's not out of the possibility that Prince probably was dealing with a physical ailment that required painkillers. Not out of the concept of common sense, or not even out of the concept of what pop stars have to do in order to maintain their ability to perform at a high level for a lot of people. You know, you go on a 50 city tour, man, and you're like, you're in the city, you're performing and you're producing music, and here you go to another city and you're performing, and it's a constant thing. You go on to the radio stations to promote your music. Now, Prince wasn't really doing a whole lot of radio promotions, but there's a strain on your body that you put on that regular folks just ain't doing to maintain a presence like that. And so it's not impossible for Prince to have been, on an opiate painkiller just to maintain. We don't know. Now, there's been some rumors that came out that Prince may have been diagnosed with the HIV virus, or that he had full-blown AIDS and he was prepared to die. I don't know how true those rumors are. They haven't really come from a real reputable source, so I don't really want to put a whole lot of stock into that. But it's possible. It's possible. Because, again, we don't know these people in the ways in which we think we know these people. Just like with Beyonce and Jay-Z. We don't know these people in the ways in which we think we do. We know what they want us to know. All right? We know what they want us to know. And so privacy and perception kind of shapes a lot of it when it comes to these artists. Like, Prince was very private, and our perception of him is of him being a devout Jehovah's Witness who is also health conscious. Jay-Z and Beyonce, very private couple. Don't say a whole hell of a lot. And we don't necessarily believe whether or not Jay-Z and Beyonce were going through any marital strife when they very well could have, because regular people go through marital strife all the time. And we don't question the possibility of that. So yeah, man, perception and privacy, perception, you know, like it changes how we look at these people. And yeah, with Prince, some of those things that are coming out may well be true. They may not be true. Some of these conspiracies, though, I think are a little bit ridiculous. You know, when I seen a conspiracy that he was killed over the control of his masters, and the record companies had $1 billion life insurance policy on him and stuff like that, and they stand to take control of his music once he dies, when at the end of the day, his sister is the one who stands to take control over the rest of that shit. Stop following these fucking memes, man. That's another thing, too. A lot of y'all believe whatever the fuck y'all read on a meme, man. Y'all gotta stop that shit. Real talk. Now, another thing, man, and I've been really talking about this the last couple weeks, and it's the fact that there have been a string of states that have come up with bathroom laws, right? Now, we have these bathroom laws that are popping up. I think 17 states have introduced legislation that's pretty much discriminatory against transgender people, right? Where you have to go to the bathroom that you were assigned at birth, not the gender that you identify as now as a transgender person. And so there's been a lot of momentum has kind of gained up on a petition for Target. People are boycotting Target for their, hey man, use whatever fucking bathroom you want to policy. Right? So check this out, man. I got this news clip from, I believe it's Newsbeat Social. Check this out as they talk about the petition of Target passing a million signatures. Check this out.
An online petition to boycott Target has grown to over 1 million signatures. The American Family Association created the online petition April 20th in response to Target's announcement to allow transgender people to use the bathroom of their choice while in its stores, something the AFA claims could allow sexual predators to access victims. The self-described Christian activist group proposes Target offer a unisex bathroom, allowing separate facilities for men and women, and also a single-use bathroom as an alternative. On its Facebook page, Target said many stores already offer single stall, wheelchair accessible bathrooms available for any guests who are more comfortable in that format. There are 17 states that have considered some sort of so-called bathroom bill legislation, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, with North Carolina being the only state to have passed a bill. Target has not responded specifically to the petition, but has said it stands by the decision. For Newsbeat Social, I'm Chad Carter.
All right. Now, you know, like I said, I've been speaking about this issue a bit much lately. Right. And you know what? Last week when I kind of talked about this, I was talking about how it kind of boggles my mind when like some of my friends, can't wrap their heads around the fact of how wrong, you know, around how wrong this sort of legislation is and how this sort of discriminatory tactics have been used against people of color. Years past, right? And so one of the things that I went back and I listened to the last week's episode, and one of the things that I have to understand, and this is just me kind of self-checking myself, right? One of the things that I have to understand is that I came into my understanding when I did. Everybody's going to come into their own understanding in their own time, and I have to understand that. Some of them may never come into an inclusive understanding in the ways in which I have. And I have to make a decision as to whether or not I choose to continue to associate myself with these people if they continue to hold those sort of views, right? And I had to recognize that, though. Like, I went back and I listened to last week's episode, and I had to recognize that, yo, even though these are my friends, like, I came into my understanding when I did. I'm pretty sure there have been a lot of people who tried to talk to me when I was of that thinking and got the same sort of reaction that I had talking to my friends about this issue last week, right? So that's me checking myself, right? Because at the end of the day, like, everybody has their own feelings about it, and I have to respect it to some degree. Respected enough to know that whether or not I want to be continually associated with these folks is something altogether different. But I do have to respect that, hey, people feel the way that they feel, whether they have the information or not, right? And again, I still believe that there are blind spots, and then there are things that you just refuse to see. And once someone brings this to your attention, it isn't so much a blind spot anymore if you refuse to acknowledge the facts behind it. And if you refuse to acknowledge the facts behind what's going on, then it's so much, it's on that whole you just refuse to see it. And so that's what I've been trying to do, at least, you know, like I said, with this platform and with the voice that I do have, is to eliminate as many blind spots for people as I possibly can with this platform, right? So yeah, man. But, you know, getting back to this particular issue, it's a surprising number of people who you would think would, you know, who talk about inclusion, who are also in support of this, right? And it's also amazing, man. Like, and as I was talking about this last week, A lot of people who were talking about they don't want to go to the bathrooms where they know it's going to be a, like, I've seen women all of a sudden, some women talk about how they don't want to be in the bathroom if there's another dude in the bathroom. And, you know, and I don't want to minimize how they feel. The only thing that I do kind of question is the validity of the scenario, right? The validity of the scenario, because when I was having a talk with a young lady earlier today, and when she was talking about, like, you know, she doesn't want to go into a bathroom with a transgender person, I'm like, you know, the funny thing about that is that you probably already have been in a bathroom with a transgender person and nothing happened. And you haven't been thinking about this until recently. You haven't been thinking about this until recently. A lot of folks haven't been thinking about this until recently. You know why we weren't thinking about this until recently? Because it wasn't a problem. It's like a non-existent problem. People are upset about this because it's in front of them right now, right? This is what's in front of us. We have politicians who are coming out and saying, yeah, this is wrong, that these people shouldn't be able to go to these bathrooms. Like, man, well, what are, like, those, remember those family bathrooms that you have at the mall? Sometimes Target has them. Sometimes Walmart has them, where you can go into the bathroom. Everybody, the whole damn family can go into this bathroom, right? And you can go in there, you can change the baby, and you can take your kids in there, and you can make sure that your kids go in there and use the bathroom and everything else. Family bathroom. I don't know if this is any much different from that. I don't really know if this is any much different from that. And not only that, like I said last week, like, how many of us are going to be doing some genital checking when we go to the bathroom? Are they going to have a genital checker right there when you walk to the bathroom? Like, hey, do you got a dick? Hey, pull your pants down right now. Let me see it. You got a vagina? Pull your pants down right now. Let me see it. What are we, like, is this what we're going to do? Is this how we're going to operate as a society? It's stupid. Like, hashtag because stupid. This is a stupid piece of legislation. This is stupid logic. Leave people alone. Let them go about their business. This is a non-existent problem that we're trying to solve for. It's almost like, I don't want to compare it to that. I don't want to compare it to that. It's like one of those outlier events, though, right? And I guess I am going to have to compare it to that because it's one of the references that I do know. It's like when we try to come up with, like, when we try to come up with gun laws for mass shootings, but mass shootings don't happen, mass shootings don't happen on the scale in which, like, everyday interactions with guns happen, right? People don't necessarily have interactions with guns in the way that involves a mass shooting. And I think I'm totally fucking this up. But, like, the ways in which we try to create gun laws, like, you ever notice how, like, when there's a mass shooting, then we get hysterical and we start talking about all these different types of guns that we need to ban. We need to get rid of these AR-15s. We need to get rid of these assault rifles. Meanwhile, most of the crime that's happening happens with handguns, right? That's usually what most of our crime happens with, handguns. And so, like, when it comes to laws like this where, you know, now all of a sudden folks are clamoring for, well, we need to protect our women and girls. We need to not let men who say they feel like women have access to these women's bathrooms. And we don't really have the case logs to show a shit ton of dudes portraying themselves as women to go into these women's bathrooms to assault women and girls. We're solving for that outlier event, you know, and it's disappointing, man. Like I said, it's disappointing when I see some of my friends kind of spouting this shit off like, yeah, man, we got to protect our daughters. Like, dude, like, when has your daughter ever been in danger going into the bathroom? Are you sending your kids in the bathroom by themselves? Have you ever seen a dude, like a straight up dude, walk up into a bathroom and say, hey, I feel like a woman today? When have you ever seen anybody pull that off? We haven't, man. We just haven't seen it. And so it's always funny to me when I see, you know, like, folks who normally wouldn't necessarily vote Republican, right? That's another thing, too. Like, they normally wouldn't vote Republican, but this is so a Republican talking point. Such a Republican talking point. And so, yeah, man. And another thing, too, man, it's such a sign of a privileged existence. It's really a sign of a privileged existence when the biggest thing that you have to protest is the fact that Target has a policy that allows people to use the bathroom and not get harassed. Right? That's your biggest fucking thing. Like, you know what, man? We got to stop this shit. If we go, I'm going to Walmart from now on. I'm going to Walmart. I don't want to go in the bathroom and there's a man in there pissing. And then he leaves and does nothing to nobody. Right? It's stupid, man. It's stupid. Like, and not only that, it's like, if you could get that excited and that worked up about actual civil injustice, like when a black kid gets gunned down by the police, like there was a kid in Baltimore who had a toy gun with the orange tip on it, and he kept telling the cops that it wasn't fucking real, and they shot his ass twice anyway. You can get, if we can get y'all to be that motherfucking upset about that as you are about these bathrooms, man, we'd be in a much better place. We'd be in such a better place. But that's too much light, right? That's too much light, right? So, yeah, man. Bathrooms. People mad about them. And I don't understand it. Let me, hold on a second. All right. Now, we just had some more election results come through. Super Tuesday. There's so many Super Tuesdays now. I remember back in the day, it used to be just like one. Now we've had like three or four Super Tuesdays, right? But Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump pretty much swept the Super Tuesday primary results, man. Donald Trump won all five. Hillary Clinton won four, lost one to Bernie Sanders. And I'm so happy that we're coming to a close on this primary season. I really am. And part of the reason is because, one, I'm a little irritated with the Bernie Sanders supporters trying to convince me of Bernie Sanders. Like, look, dude, like, I get it. Y'all love him. I'm a little skeptical. I'm a little skeptical of Hillary's ass, too. But Bernie Sanders isn't necessarily this messiah that you guys kind of make him out to be, right? And with Trump, it's more so like, I'm kind of like, yeah, if the Republicans are this fucking crazy to nominate this dude, whew, then at least we know what we're dealing with, right? Because at the end of the day, like, you got Trump, you got Cruz, you got Kasich. Like, Kasich has won one state. That was his own state. And Cruz has been like, he's like a Tea Party activist sort of candidate. He has been since he was elected to the, I believe it's the Senate. And Donald Trump is just a clusterfuck in one body, right? He's just a political clusterfuck. And it just kind of speaks to the amount of hatred that we have in this country for, you know, people who look different than us and people who think differently than us. Especially when it comes to minority voters, right? Because you look at a lot of the things that Donald Trump has talked about, and it's really an indictment upon minorities, whether that be immigrants from Mexico, whether that be African-American voters, you know, the ways in which he's articulated or not articulated his foreign policy. Donald Trump has said some really fucked up shit, and it's surprising that Donald Trump has been able to garner as much support as he has. I remember when he first started his campaign, I thought it was a fucking joke. And here we are. This dude is a presumptive nominee. Whether they want to acknowledge it or not on the Republican side with Kasich and Cruz, that dude is a presumptive nominee. And now Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee. And one of the things about Hillary Clinton being the presumptive nominee is the fact that, like, as much as Bernie Sanders supporters wanted to cry it, man, the woman won that she's been winning fair and square, right? And one of the things is one of the things that I think a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters have not been able to wrap their heads around is like, yo, you can talk about the polls all you want. You can talk about how big his rallies are all you want. If those same people don't make it to the polls to vote for Bernie Sanders, then all of that shit means absolutely nothing. You can say whatever you want on the telephone when somebody calls you and they ask you as a prospective voter who you support. And you can tell them whatever you want. I've had that call. I got that call 2 years ago. And it was, I was on the call, I was on the phone with them like maybe 15 years, not 15 years, 15 minutes, answering a whole bunch of questions, right? And it's funny because, like, I used to ask the question, like, yo, who are these people calling when they do these polls? Because I ain't never got that call. And part of the reason why I never got that call is because I really have an aversion to answering calls from 1-800 numbers, right? If it's 1-800, I'm like, I ain't got no friends in no 800 numbers, man. What the fuck is that? Right? So you get these calls, and you can say whatever it is, you know, whatever it is you want. But it doesn't count until you get your ass in that voting booth and actually vote for what you say you want, right? And so with Bernie Sanders, man, like, folks are talking about the processes being undemocratic with them having closed primaries, but then they talk about the caucuses being not undemocratic, right? Like Wyoming, I think he won Wyoming. I think less than 300 people voted in that caucus, and he won that, right? Excuse me. He wins caucus states. He wins open primary states to some degree, right? So with Bernie Sanders, man, and with Ted Cruz, like, to some degree, I'm just happy that there is coming to a point where we know what we're going to be looking at in the fall. We're going to be looking at Hillary Clinton. We're going to be looking at Donald Trump, right? And unfortunately, like, as much as I don't like Hillary Clinton, as much as I'm not really excited about Bernie Sanders, like, I said this numerous times, whoever gets his Democratic nomination is the one who's going to get my vote, because look at the alternative. Right? Look at the alternative, what we got. And so, yeah, man, Cruz, delusional as, has gone so far as to name his running mate. Dude finished third in 4 of the 5 primaries this past Tuesday. Like, he finished third in Rhode Island. He finished third in Delaware. He finished third in Connecticut. He finished third in Maryland. The only place where he finished second was in Pennsylvania. And he's naming a running mate. Like, like, this shit is ridiculous. This is retarded. But this is what this presidential primary season has become. Like, it's become a lot of foolishness, man. And I'm so sick and tired of it. I'm ready for it to be over. Like, real talk, I'm so ready for it to be over. And another thing, another one very small critique that I do have of Bernie Sanders that I don't think I've said, is that it's, I find it very insulting when a lot of his supporters talk about him having a revolution and not having voters as inspired and motivated to go vote for him, and them never seeing anything like it, right? Never seen anything like it in all of my years. I've never been this motivated to go vote. And you'd be like, well, damn, wasn't Barack Obama just 8 years ago? Just 8 years ago. How soon do we forget? How soon do we cast aside? Like, we got gas stations in Detroit named after Obama with Obama's face all over them. We done had gas stations, pharmacies, tire shops, everything, man, like ice cream trucks, Obama branded with his campaign logo and everything on it, man. People were inspired by that guy. People were moved by that guy. I remember seeing Barack Obama win the nomination, and a young lady on, I believe it was MSNBC or something, and they were in Atlanta. This young lady cried. She fell down to her knees, happy at the fact that we had elected our first black president. And now you got people talking about Bernie Sanders as if Bernie Sanders is the leader of a revolution that they've never seen before. Stop it, man. Stop it. picture me like I don't get it, man. I really don't get it, man. But yeah, we're about to get up to the meat and potatoes of today's show. I know I talked about a lot of shit, but this is one of the things, man, that I really kind of I want to get into, right? So there was this video of this father who was boxing his son, right? And he explained himself as to why he was doing this to his son at the very start of the video. And I'm gonna play what this dude says right here. Check this out.
Yo, yo, yo. All right, Facebook world. So my son, 17 years old, decides he wants to go to school and cut up like he ain't got to come home and see me. Today, he walked out of the teacher's class, and granted, I know teachers be fucked up, so I let him know he could walk out of class. but call me so I'm on your side. All day went by, he didn't call.
Okay, so you not mad that he walked out of the class. Right now you just mad that he didn't call you after he walked out of the class. Okay.
So now it's discipline time because he didn't do what I told him to do. He chooses to do what he wants to do. Now, for y'all that got kids, teenagers, girls, I don't know. I got sons and I treat them like men. And he gonna get this work like a young man, which is twofold. Discipline for not following my directions. Secondly, teaching him how to defend himself. Come on, put them gloves on. Let's go.
All right. Now, here's the thing. I want you guys to really try to listen for. Listen for how this boy is responding to the blows he's about to receive at the hands of his daddy. Just listen to how he responds to him.
Let's go. Come on. You want to cut up in school? This is what you got to deal with. Come on. Let's go. Yeah, you got to watch. You can't come in there with your eyes closed. You know that. I done told you that. That's what the jab for. The jab is to hide the punch. Come on. Stop acting stupid. You know what to do here. You wanna play around the school, niggas don't have to come and get this. They don't have to come and get this work, do they? You in here bloody. Why? Your friends don't see you when you cutting up. When you gotta come home and deal with pops, do they? Do they? They don't see that, do they? But you do, don't you? Look at you, look at you. You don't be worried about this when you cutting up, do you? No, you don't. That's a jab. That one hurt, didn't it? I know it did, didn't it? You wanna keep playing around? Told you, you a young man, I ain't whooping you with no problem, nigga. Let me teach you how to learn. Come on. Yeah, I ain't worried about blood. I ain't worried about blood. Look at the walls. Yeah, yeah. They don't see this in school, do they? But when you go in there, you want to cut up and disrespect and talk shit to teachers. They got to come home with that. Got you leaking now, don't it? Now clean yourself up.
All right, now. You know, like, I watched that, man, and, like, I was, you know, of course, you know, you're dealing with Facebook a lot of times, man, and I watched that on Facebook, and you see some of the comments that people were making. I saw a woman talk about how nice the house looks, so that boy would need to be thankful that he lives in a nice home, right? And I saw another dude say, well, the boy was fighting back. I didn't see him crying. I didn't hear him crying at all. I don't know what video he was watching. I can hear that shit very well. That boy was crying as he's getting fucked up. Getting his face beat in by his pops, right? And so, you know, one of the things, man, one of the things that really gets to me is the fact that we have so many of these new age ass parents who feel that they have to discipline their kids for social media, right? We don't just discipline our kids for the fact that these kids need discipline. We want to discipline our kids and then put the shit on social media so that we can get the kudos from other motherfuckers that don't mean shit, right? So this dude, he puts this video out on Facebook, right? And of course, He's looking for the pats on the back. Like, yeah, you did that right. That's how I need to do my son. That's what's wrong with these kids now. They ain't got no discipline. We need to go back to whooping our kids' ass and all this shit, right? Saw a lot of that. Saw a lot of that shit, man. And when folks start expressing that they don't necessarily agree with what he did, then it becomes one of those things where that same dude will get on social media. And I've seen this happen. This happens more than most people know. Like, I've seen this happen where they post this shit to social media. They're looking for the social media confirmation from other parents. And then there's this contingent of parents who say, yo, man, that's fucked up. You shouldn't have did that. And then when they do say that, hey, it's none of your business. Right? You don't have no say over what I do with my kid. None of your business. Well, you know what's funny? If you hadn't put it on social media for the world to consume, some of those people whom you don't want to hear from wouldn't have shit to say. But you went on social media because you were looking for some sort of validation. It wasn't about you disciplining your son. It was about you getting validation yourself for what you were doing to your son, right? And it's one of those things where, like, you think about the trust factor with kids, man. Like, a lot of kids expect to get clowned on social media by, like, their peers, right? You kind of expect that. Like, if you get into a fight at school or something, chances are somebody about to pull their phone out. They're not about to try to stop this fight. They're going to yell out world star, and they're going to keep videoing this shit. If you get knocked out, you're going to be the next viral video, and everybody knows it, right? You don't expect for your parents to be the ones to put you out there for the world. You don't expect your parents to be the ones to do that, to humiliate you in front of the world. Now, I'm not saying, you know, whatever happened with this kid, right? Like, if you walked out of school or whatever, you walked out of class, I'm not even saying that this kid doesn't need discipline. That wasn't the discipline that I would have prescribed for him. And there's discipline and there's abuse. There's a difference between discipline and abuse, right? So, you know, you beat your son to a bloody pulp, right? We see the results of it. Like, you go into the kitchen as the kid is trying to clean himself up. He's got blood all over his t-shirt. His nose is bloody. His eyes is bloody. Like, you got blood all over the walls. You got blood all in your carpet. You're actually talking about you got your son leaking as you're whooping his ass. You're talking about the blood on the walls as you're whooping his ass. But you don't think you went too far, right? You don't think it's not, you think it's nothing. And there's a large contingent of people. There's a large contingent of people who think he didn't do anything wrong in that particular instance. These kids need to be checked. These kids need to have some discipline enforced upon them, right? Here's the thing, though. And I want people to really, really, really think about this. We all grew up in an era where, like, corporal punishment was pretty much accepted, right? I got my ass whooped as a kid. Just about all my friends that I know got their asses whooped as a kid. My brother got his ass whooped damn near every day. I know a lot of dudes who got their asses whooped damn near every day. Did some shit worthy of getting your ass whooped, right? Or what we would consider worthy then, right? To get your ass whooped, right? I remember a whooping my brother got. This is real fucked up story, but I remember this one time, my brother almost set the house on fire playing with matches, and like he was in the kitchen and it was like he had singed the wall and stuff like that. Tried to lie and say I did it, right? Tried to lie and say I did it. And my mother, she was taking a nap at the time. She got up, she went in the kitchen, she saw the wall, and you know, I'm not taking no L. I'm not taking this L. Right, I'm not taking this L. Yo, he did it. And he tried to blame it on me. He did it though, right? Whew. My mama beat that boy. Like, my mama, like, went, like, I think my mama blacked out on my brother as she was whooping his ass. Like, I saw my brother trying to climb walls. I heard my brother pleading, like, mama, mama. Like, my mom's boyfriend at the time pulled up. hearing my mama beat the fuck out of my brother, and he stopped her, right? And here's another thing too. Like I've seen dudes talking about, well, it wasn't his daddy though. Who? It doesn't fucking matter. Abuse is abuse, no matter who the fuck is giving it. That whole he not receiving discipline from his daddy. Like, no, my mama beat his ass. His daddy wouldn't have given him any more motherfucking abuse than my mama was giving my brother at that time. And I love my mama, but she was abusing my brother at that time. Right? That was abuse. My mother could have went to jail for what she did to my brother that day. Right? And I always think when you hear people talk about them whooping their kids, and it's a common refrain. Like, I'm whooping them so that they get in line, so that they don't have to deal with the police, right? You'd much rather me whoop them than to have the police deal with them and all this other shit, right? And then I start thinking, like, yo, when has fucking up our kids, when has beating our kids ever stopped the police from fucking with us? When has it ever stopped the police from fucking with us? I've been arrested twice. One time I was arrested for soliciting without a permit. And it's not what y'all think. It was door-to-door sales, and I was walking with a dude who was selling some shit, and I realized I didn't want to sell some shit with him, so I'm just watching this guy. Police roll up on us, give me a ticket for soliciting without a permit. Company's supposed to pay the ticket for me. They didn't do it. A year later, I'm getting pulled over by the state police saying, hey, it's a warrant out for your arrest in the city of Warren, Michigan, for soliciting without a permit. First time I got arrested was some bullshit like that, right? Right? And the second time I got arrested was that shit in Chicago about the gun, right? Where the Chicago police said I had a gun on me that was actually in my luggage at my grandma's house. It wasn't on me at all, right? So, I don't. Not only that, if you were to poll prisoners as to whether or not they got their asses whooped as kids, I'm willing to bet my paycheck this week that the vast majority of them would say that they did, that they got whoopings as a kid. And so, like, this idea that we're whooping our kids to protect them, we're whooping our kids to enforce some discipline, we're whooping our kids to know that there are consequences for their actions. And I've said this before on the show, like, yo, man, yo, whoopings, they worked on me. Didn't necessarily work on my brother. My brother has spent the last 11 years, man. My brother's younger than me. He's 2 years younger than me. The last 11 years of my brother's life has been in a state penitentiary. Right? So, are we really whooping our kids for their own protection? Are we really beating our kids for their own protection? How are we confusing this? That we're doing this out of love and protection, when really we're bullying our kids and we're abusing our kids and we're beating our kids into submission. That was a beatdown that we witnessed on this video. And that video is available on thespanreport.com. Check it out if you want to. That was a beatdown, man. And it's, you know, I get it. Like, some folks, like, yeah, I came up and I'm fine. Like, I went through all that shit and I'm fine. I'm straight. Like, yeah, you say that. I can say that, right? Like, I can say, like, yeah, well, you know, I'm straight now, you know. But I think some of us kind of suffer from a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, where we start identifying with our abuser and wanting to take up for our abuser. Not recognizing that, like, yo, we were in dependent positions then. Like, you ever recognize, like, you know, like, when there's that old saying, like, you ain't too old to get your ass whooped. A lot of it wasn't so much about you being old as, like, you weren't necessarily dependent upon your parents anymore to where you didn't have to tolerate that shit, right? You're in a position to where, like, this person's putting a roof over your head, they putting clothes on your back, they putting food in your stomach, and if you do something wrong, they get to whoop your ass. You were in a very dependent position then. When you got older and you had some means to go about and doing things yourself, some of that shit goes by the wayside. And if your parents decided that they did want to try some shit like that, you weren't necessarily trying to take that. You weren't going to. A lot of y'all weren't going to, once you got to a point where you didn't have to depend on your parents for shit. I'll be damned if somebody like say if my dad, right? Say if my dad decided that he wanted to try to whoop me at 19. Like, niggas, you out of your fucking mind? Are you out of your fucking mind? That's going to be a fight. I'm not letting that happen. You know why it's going to be a fight? Because I'm not allowing myself to be beat down the way some of these kids have to allow themselves or submit themselves in that way. We got fear of our parents, man. Some of it, you know, we had the fear of our parents because, you know, and there's some historical context behind it. Let's not get it twisted. There's a lot of historical context behind it where our parents wanted us to be more afraid of the consequences of dealing with them than dealing with the police and dealing with the overseers, series of even going back so far as to slavery. Like, you beat your kids into submission because you didn't want these kids having to deal with the overseer in slavery. A lot of that, man, it's kind of psychologically ingrained in us to some degree. But it's lazy parenting to a large degree, right? At least I consider it lazy parenting. Now, in this situation where this young man was having his son box with him and he's beating his son to a pulp and whatnot, it's not as if there weren't any other options that were available to him, right? Now, one of the things that he could have done as a form of punishment instead of punching his son in the face would have been to work the kid out, right? See, I'm all about the creativity and the discipline. I'm all about it. Like, I've seen videos of dudes like kind of giving their sons some military style workouts, right? Like, put them through some boot camp style drills, working his body out to the point of fucking exhaustion. And then getting up the next day, doing it all over again. Like, yo, you fucked up. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. You're going to work this shit off. You're going to make this up by working this off for me. Right? If he's all about teaching his son about self-defense. Hey, I don't know how much boxing costs in his particular area. I'm not trying to count his pockets. But if you really want to teach your son boxing, how about you teach your son boxing the correct way? Hell, even put him through some boxing drills till he's fucking exhausted and he can't hold his arms up. That's a way of disciplining your son without punching him in the fucking face. And actually teaching him the sport of boxing. Actually teaching him how to defend himself. And using it as a form of punishment. Not having his dad punch him all in the fucking face to the point where he's in a bloody pulp. You know, like, taking things away from your children sometimes can be just as effective, too. Like, if you take their cell phone away, take their video games away, take their internet away, take their access to television. Television, cell phone, internet, video games, all of that shit. You know how addicted these kids are to that? You know how addicted they are? Like, if I threatened to take my daughter's cell phone away from her right now, she'd think the world is fucking over. I remember when my daughter's cell phone was broke and I had to get her like another phone or whatever, and she had to use like a regular cell phone, like an old dummy phone, and she didn't know how the fuck to use it. She didn't know what the hell was going on with that. My daughter was miserable. There's a lot of different ways to discipline your kids other than beating their ass. And some of it is, like I said, it's a lot of lazy ass parenting. Some of it is not thinking of the ramifications of what striking your kids can do to them. Now, if his son had turned up with a concussion from one of those shots that he had taken in the head, what would have been the excuse we got from his dad? Oh, see, what had happened was he had fell down the stairs, right? It would have been something. It would have been something. And so I'm a little sick and tired, man, of like you niggas. Like, at the end of the day, I'm really sick and tired of you niggas parenting for the Facebook, for the Instagram, for the Twitter, for the Snapchat. Like, you putting your family business out there and then getting mad when folks aren't necessarily patting you on the back for the shit that you did. So like when this dude finally got caught up with well, what happened with him and his son, one of the things he said was this. Hold on, let me go. This was on Fox 5 in DC. Where was it? Okay, here it is. It said the father, who identified himself as Taydig Ditches on Facebook, told Fox 5 he was ordered on Thursday to turn himself into the Prince William County Sheriff's Office after he posted the video, which showed his son bloodied after the sparring. Taydig said they are a boxing family, and it is no one's place to judge how he takes care of his business in his house. Nigga, once you put that shit out on social media, it is everybody's business. And folks are going to judge you. If you didn't want that type of reaction, if you didn't want anybody knowing what the hell you was doing to your son, posting it to Facebook was the last thing you should have done. You brought this upon yourself. You brought this upon yourself. So, yeah, man. Like, and another thing too, like, rightly so, this dude was arrested, was charged with domestic assault and battery, and his son was removed out of his home after the result of him taking his video, posting it to Facebook, and letting the world know what he was doing. Check this out.
Good to have you with us, everyone. I'm Sarah Simmons.
And I'm Laura Evans.
Come on, stop acting stupid. You know what to do here.
New tonight, an update to a story you saw first on Fox 5. A man in Prince William County posted a video of himself boxing his son. He claimed he was teaching his son a lesson for cutting class. Tonight, police say the teen has been removed from that home by Child Protective Services. Fox 5's Alexandra Lamone is following the story. She's here with more. Been quite a change in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, definitely, guys. And after that first visit from Child Protective Services, the father and son made another video commenting on that visit from CPS. Little did they know agents would return to remove that 17-year-old from the home. And that father is also now facing domestic assault and battery charges.
So. That video of me and Tank got so much publicity that CPS actually knocked on the door. Then they Tank.
A lot of people are really upset about me and Tank video the other day. Tank, a lot of people want me to go to jail. Like, a lot of people saying, yo, that's child abuse. She should be locked up. How does that make you feel?
Why would you ask that boy that on camera? Knowing that, like, after seeing what we've seen, what response do you think we're going to get from this kid? What response do you think we're going to get from this kid after seeing what we've seen you do to him? I mean, be for real. Like, having these, like, that's another thing too, man. Like, abusers, like, tend to have this thing where, like, well, see, he not even mad about it. Y'all all mad, and he not even mad about it. Like, yo, he got to live with you, dog. We've seen what you've done to him. I don't expect this kid to say nothing but, yeah, you was right, Dad. You was right. That's all I expect him to say.
That's the latest controversial video posted by a man in Prince William County after Child Protective Services visited his home. Because of this initial video the Virginia man posted on Facebook, it shows him boxing his son, and it caused a firestorm on social media. The video also shows the teen's face and shirt bloodied. During the clips, the teen's dad, Tavis Sellers, says they're a boxing family, and he was trying to teach his son discipline and self-defense after the 17-year-old cut class.
Let him know. Tell your teacher you're sorry.
I'm sorry for getting up and walking out of the class.
It's inappropriate for an adult to beat a child of that nature. He wasn't boxing him. He was fighting him. The son was running. It's in black and white. And it's not fair to a kid.
I think it's okay. I don't believe he was going to hurt him. And sometimes you got to discipline him, especially after the Peterson incident where the gentleman, the football player, goes to jail for just disciplining this kid. I think you got to draw the line somewhere.
All right. Now, he mentioned that dude mentioned Adrian Peterson. Have you guys seen the pictures of Adrian Peterson's 3-year-old son at the time, months after that whooping, where he still had wounds all over his legs and his scrotum? This is the disconnect that a lot of folks have, man. Hold on, Cortana, what the fuck are you doing? I didn't ask you to open up nothing. Come on, man. This Windows 10, man. You're doing too much. Okay. Now, but yeah, like Adrian Peterson's son had wounds all over his legs and all over his scrotum after Adrian Peterson beat the hell out of that 3-year-old months after the fact. So that's not exactly the, I wouldn't exactly use Adrian Peterson as the paragon of virtue in this particular instance, dude, but this is the way a lot of folks thinking. They don't see anything wrong with beating the fuck out of their kids. They just don't.
People done brought police to our house. What you want to tell them?
Wasn't that serious?
Yeah. Well, in the state of Virginia.
The way she kept asking me questions, like she was stuttering, like she sounded more nervous than I was.
But the way the Prince William County Police Department sees it, there's no debate. Sellers' actions are a crime, and sellers' reasons weren't enough to keep Child Protective Services away for long either. Police say agents came back and removed the 17-year-old from the home. Sellers was released on an unsecured bond after turning himself in, but the Prince William County Police Department says the investigation is ongoing and he could face additional charges. So, guys, that's the latest on this story.
Wow. I have a problem with it. I mean, I understand if you're a boxing family, but mm-hmm. to have that kind of injury, to see that kind of blood is just...
It's a lot of blood, for sure.
Went a little too far.
All right. Yeah, man. Stop parenting for social media. Stop betraying the trust of your kids for social media likes. Some of you motherfucking parents are just as bad as your kids for the social validation of others. Stop doing that. Stop. It's fucking stupid. It's almost as stupid as those goddamn laws to prevent transgender people from just going to the bathroom. Stop it. And whatever happens to this dude, man, is probably what is probably deserved. It's probably deserved, man. Real talk. But yeah. It's almost time to get out of here. But of course, before we get out of here, we got some segments. We got our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And this week's ass hat of the week is KRS-One. Yeah. KRS-One was doing an interview. I believe it was with Nori, former rapper or something like that. And they were talking about the African Bambaataa sexual molestation allegations. And KRS-One said the absolute wrong thing concerning sexual molestation when it concerns anybody. But KRS-One gave a very, very, very unpopular opinion when it concerns sexual molestation. Here it goes.
So I have to ask this question, with that being said, with the name being, like, how is hip-hop supposed to respond to the Bambaataa? Like, how are we supposed to do that?
First of all, mm-hmm. controversy mm-hmm. is not truth. Mm. Mm. What you want is truth right mm. now. You want truth. Right. But truth is also not information. It's not gossip. Mm. It's not even conversation. Mm. For me, if you keep it hip hop, right. nothing could be taken away from Africa Bambaataa's
contribution. No, not at all. Nothing.
Just keep it hip hop.
Right.
But if you want to dig into dude's personal life and the right. accusations that's being made and so on,
right.
me personally, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Personally.
Right.
Look, if somebody was harmed or whatever right. was done or whatever, y'all deal with that shit. What? Deal
right.
with it.
Right.
That don't stop hip hop.
Right.
That
no.
don't stop what you did
away,
for hip hop.
Take away the legacy.
Don't right. take away none of it. History's history.
Right. Right.
But deal with that. That's personal. It seems.
All right. Now. You know, this is the type of attitude that we've seen with Bill Cosby, right? Like, a lot of folks kind of took turned a blind eye to a lot of the allegations that were going on with Bill Cosby because of Bill Cosby's contribution to black self-esteem, to the comedic world, to the ways in which Bill Cosby presented himself in front of America at large. And a lot of folks felt like, you know, Bill Cosby raised them. Bill Cosby has put, you know, kids through school, man. Bill Cosby made me want to go to a HBCU. Bill Cosby did all these things. We just took a side eye to all the shit that Bill Cosby had been accused of. A lot of folks took a side eye to a lot of the shit that Bill Cosby was accused of because of this persona that Bill Cosby had put out about himself being a comedic legend, being a philanthropist, just being an overall good dude, right? We have this perception of Bill Cosby as being this good dude. And so when this good dude has been accused of doing something monstrous, we like, nah, man, it couldn't be possible. He couldn't do that. Couldn't do that. And then we start attacking the people who were saying, yo, this dude did something to me. This dude did something. He took something from me. Very personal. He abused me. And a lot of people are real callous when it comes to that, right? And this is the exact same thing here. If you want to keep it hip hop, you can't take nothing away from him. But if you want to get into his personal life, man, you got to deal with that shit. Dog. Is that the attitude that you would take from if it was somebody that you knew, like really knew, if somebody that you knew was a victim of Afrika Bambaataa, would that be something that you would just say you just got to deal with it? This is the ways in which we kind of turn this blind eye to these people whom we look up to, right? And that's another thing too, man, when it comes to social media, when it comes to, especially when it comes to social media, right? Social media has kind of leveled the playing field with how we interact with a lot of these people we used to think as heroes and stars and whatnot. It's leveled that playing field. We have access to them now in ways we didn't have before. And if you stick around long enough on social media, especially when it concerns your heroes, you'll find out something about them that'll make you question everything you loved about them. They'll say something fucked up. They'll do something fucked up. And you look at them like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? And that's how I'm looking at KRS right now. What the fuck is wrong with you? How can you minimize that kind of thing? At the end of the day, hip hop is not the end all be all of nothing. As much as we enjoy it, it is not the end all be all. So if you trumpet his hip hop contribution more than what he's being accused of doing to not just one, but at least right now, four individuals have come forward to say this dude did something to them. If you trumpet his hip-hop contributions more, there's something fucking wrong with you. You could be the teacher or whatever the fuck else. But you sound like a goddamn fool for saying they should just deal with it. And so for that, KRS-One is a Span Report ass out of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we got a champ too.
The champ is here!
All right, now, the champ of the week this week on the Span Report is Beyonce. Beyonce is the Span Report champ of the week because, man, Lemonade has inspired so many black women. Excuse me. You know, it's one of those things, man, when Beyonce releases a project, like The World Stops, and everybody needs to be a part of it, and even those who aren't a part of the party want to be a part of the party in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, the biggest thing about the Lemonade release was, as much as folks took away the fact that Beyonce may have revealed some infidelities within her marriage or some problems and some rocky spots within her marriage, that the overall message wasn't just that, right? Beyonce highlighted some of the mothers from whom have lost their sons or their daughters to police violence. She had the mother of Trayvon Martin featured in this video. She had the mother of Eric Garner featured in this video. The mother of Mike Brown was featured in this video. She had, young black up and coming stars featured in this video with Zendaya and so many different. I'm drawing blanks as to their names, but so many different young up and coming black young women who are paving another way for black women to succeed, for black women to be showcased. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing to see. And not only that, as much as people wanted to talk about the cheating aspects of what Jay-Z may or may not have done, at the end of that Lemonade special, at the end of that, she talked about love and she talked about triumph, man. She talked about the ability to get through something. And it was a beautiful thing, man. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing to watch so many sisters get their life to Beyonce, despite some of the outside agitation that they may have been dealing with, right? So, like I said, man, I can recognize that Lemonade wasn't for me. But I can also recognize that, yo, it was a whole lot of sisters who got their jam going on when it came to Beyonce and when it came to Lemonade. So for that, Beyonce is a Spare Report podcast champ of the week this week, man. Real talk. But yeah, man, we don't have any listener feedback. But what we do have is a poll on this week's show. So what I want you guys to do, when you go to SpareReport.com and you look up this episode, episode 112, I turned out just fine. You'll see a poll, and the poll question is, do you believe the Virginia father who boxed his son went too far? I want you guys to go to the poll and vote on that, and I'll read the results of that next week on the next episode of the Spare Report, right? But yeah, man, before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them. I'll respond to them here on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read them and I'll respond to them here on the show. Check it out. Check me out on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me on both of those platforms. My name on both of them is Mr_Spam. We can chop it up throughout the week. Talk to me about whatever the fuck it is you want to talk about, right? You can also like the Mr. Spam fan page, please. Like George Bush, right? Like the Mr. Spam fan page. Please clap. Do that for your boy, man. I think we're up to like 330 likes on the Mr. Spam fan page, man. So go ahead, like the Mr. Spam fan page on Facebook, man. Very much appreciate it. And you can also go to www.thespamreport.com. Leave me. Go to iTunes and Stitcher. Leave 5-star reviews. Leave 5-star reviews. I would very much appreciate those. And those 5-star reviews will get read. And go on Google Play Music and you can give these episodes a thumbs up. So they don't have a review system yet for the podcast, but you can always thumbs up the show at every opportunity, right? And for, of course, all the Spam Report needs, go to www.thespamreport.com. Check out all the videos. Check out all the news clips that I use. Vote in the polls. Everything you need for the Spam Report is available at thespamreport.com, man. But yeah, man, I appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you guys in the chat room. And I'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.